You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. What is up, world? This is Kelly Hall Sabraki, and we have reached season frickin' five. Five! That's a big number. I don't know what is happening in the universe, but somehow I have been doing this for five seasons. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for believing in me. Each one of you at some point, there's been a message, there's been a DM, there's been a comment, there's been a referral, there's been a text to a friend. Listen to this episode. When I see your shares, when I see your feedback, when I see your ratings, I'm just like, what is happening? I don't know, but I need to keep going. And you truly inspire me more than you realize, because there are times I'm like, nope, let's call it. Let's throw in the towel. It's too much. Recording is too much. I have too much on my plate. And then I see one of you or I meet one of you and you go, ma'am, I love listening to your podcasts. And I think, okay, that's all I need. Just a little boost, a little nudge. And that has led me to five seasons of Misunderstood Podcast. And if you think I am any more understood, actually, no. What is the inverse of that? Me. I am still continuing to be the queen of being misunderstood. And as life goes on, I realize just how misunderstood I am. Whether it's through my following, or it's through my intentions on social media, or it's through my leadership style, or it's in my personality, whatever it is, my intention seems so pure and so clear to me and my heart. And I feel like God places these very clear intentions to me through every aspect of my life. I'm like, oh, I have so much clarity. I feel good about this. Yes. And then something happens. It's misperceived and it's misconstrued. People don't get it. I get feedback, negative feedback. I have naysayers. And I'm like, my gosh. Okay. Here we go. And I am still the queen of being misunderstood. And I'm okay with that because I feel like I have a lot of clarity in what I'm doing. And my faith is anchoring me through every step of this process, through this process of life. So thank you for being here. I'm going to be speaking about a couple things today. But if you are listening to this, that means that I have announced I'm competing for Miss Illinois USA. Oh my gosh. I'm literally going to get emotional just saying that out loud. I can't believe those words are actually leaving my mouth. I have been preparing since September of 2023, but it's been my little secret. And I'm going to get into more details, but truly, like, my friends, my closest friends, my husband, my chain of command, like, they've all known about it because I had to start getting permission, but also getting that buy-in from the people around me. Hey, this is what I'm doing. I need support. But I haven't shared it. And sharing it makes it way more real. I really didn't think I would get emotional. But when I made this podcast, I said in my intro, I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. And I said those words full and well-heartedly believing that I would never step on stage again. And here I am. This feels like such a blessing to even just get this opportunity again, much less whatever the result is. And you're asking why? Why are you competing? What's going on? For those of you who are not actively in the pageant world, Miss USA organization, Miss Universe, owns the Miss USA system, and they relinquished and removed the age limit. There was an age limit of 28 forever. I mean, for like the history of Miss USA, you couldn't be older than 28. And that is what changed. So when I received that news, it was kind of go time for me. And here we are. So I want to get into all of that. I want to get into the story, into my why. But first and foremost, I'm going to get into a little bit of the root of the why and the how this has all come about and how I've even decided to push myself and compete again and do all of these scary things. And the how is because I choose to take command of my life. I choose it. There is no other person but me who will take command of my life. And I feel like as I've moved forward in my military career, I realize how much responsibility it is to command. I am not in command right now, but I do have the qualification to move forward as a future commanding officer. And I did have to study and train and seek mentors and pass a board. And that might very well be in my future. I don't know. But I do know that taking command is scary, but it's ultimately you. It's your responsibility. When you're in command, there is no looking to your left, looking to your right. Like, you are the one that's in charge. It's you. You're at the top. And what if we were at the top of our lives, of our own lives? We're not looking to the left. We're not looking to the right, down, up, above. It's us. We are that top of the pyramid. We are the top. We are the pinnacle. What would that look like if you really relied on yourself and tapped into your abilities and took command of it? That's what I'm doing now. It's not just hashtag do both, balancing femininity and military. It's grown so much more than that. It's grown into a lifestyle. The surprising thing about my platform, hashtag do both, is that it's evolved into a way of life, into a lens that you look through when you're making decisions every single day about what you have to do versus what you want to do. Holy cow, we're making the choice to do both. What we want to do and what we have to do. It's not just this one vertical thing of, oh, it's femininity and it's military. We're putting on the lip gloss today. We're doing both. It's so much more. And in summation, when I talk about taking command of your life, I'm realizing more and more that it's really through finding these three things. Like, oh, Kelly, I don't really know how. It sounds great. Relying on yourself, taking command, taking responsibility, making decisions for you, for what's better for your self-care and for your lifestyle and for moving forward. But how do I do it? How do I even begin to do that? Well, I think it's through, one, finding your power through your passions. Number two, finding a mentor and a support circle. And three, finding success through failing forward. You know, when I talk about passions, you're always like, Kelly, you're so multi-passionate. Like, how do you do it? How do you do it? I can really narrow it down to, it's what fills my cup. I am no one without my passions now. No one. I couldn't even describe to you who Kelly Sobrocki is if I didn't mention public speaking or mentoring or modeling or photography or fashion, femininity, hosting events, connecting women, social media. Like, I could not even, who am I? I don't know. Those are all things I'm so extremely passionate about. And yeah, additionally, I am a naval officer. I'm a wife. I'm a dog mom. But these things work in tandem together. There's no one without the other. I would not be the leader I am today had I not started diving into my passions years and years ago when I was a baby lieutenant junior grade or an ensign. I would be nowhere near where I am now as an 04 lieutenant commander select without those passions. And without those passions, I wouldn't be the officer that I am. I wouldn't be the wife and the woman that Austin fell in love with without those passions. The confidence that I have to this day was built by tapping into those passions. Now, you might be thinking, well, Kelly, I don't really know. Maybe am I passionate about this? I'm good at this. Am I passionate about it? No, that's not the same. Once upon a time, many moons ago, I was a runner and I was good at it, just naturally good at it. I started running when I was a kid. I would run in the street, anybody who would race me. I was quick. I'd run against all the boys. And then I got to middle school, or I got to elementary school, mind you. And I realized I could run pretty dang fast. And so did my dad. He was like, "You're scooting with those legs. Let's see if we can get you into college someday." So that's what I did. I ran. And I've always been a competitive person, so I wanted to be the best. But running always felt like a job to me. It never felt like something that really excited me. What I did in addition to running is I did cheerleading. And I really loved cheerleading. I actually got excited for practice when I'd go to cheerleading practice. I got to put my hair on my little pony, and I wear my makeup, and I learned dance routine, and we danced to fun music. And I was like, wow, this is a great time. And I loved the women that I was around. But I went to track practice. It was times and splits and intervals, and didn't matter at all what music, really didn't listen to any music, right? Like, it was just track. It was you and your thoughts. And it became work. But I knew there was an end goal there. I wanted to get a track scholarship. I wanted to get into a good school. And I did. I got into the Naval Academy, and I was recruited to run track at the Naval Academy, and it was all wonderful. And that's what I did there. I ran. But by my junior year, I was like, you know, I'm good at this, but I don't even know if I'm passionate about it. Truth is, if you have to ask yourself that question, am I passionate about this? You're not. When you're passionate about something, you can't wait to do more of it. You get up and you think about it. Sometimes you can't even sleep because you're so excited about it. Or you get in the shower and that's where your mind goes first. And you go, oh, this is a good idea. Oh, wow, I should do this. That's when you know you're passionate about it. And you cannot get enough of it. You're in love with your passions. It can be something as small as knitting, but you are the best knitter in the world. Or maybe you're terrible, but you cannot wait to knit that next blanket. It doesn't matter what it is. It all starts from whatever is really setting your soul on fire. Because guess what? You can turn that knitting passion into knitting blankets for people who need the most and start impacting the world through knitting. That is where your power really lies within. Everything I am now is a summation of things that set me on fire. Because when you set yourself on fire, people are naturally going to follow the light. So set yourself on fire so much so the world is forced to watch you burn. I'm so excited about everything that I pour myself into outside of the military that it makes me rejuvenated and ready and refreshed for when I go to work every day. The military is hard. It is hard. Being a leader is hard. Making decisions is hard. But guess what? You can only control what you can control. What are the things that you can control? Your passions, making time for them. And there are sometimes, even tonight, I'm exhausted. It is at 9:33 p.m. on a Tuesday. And I worked a full day at work. And I worked out. And I recorded a podcast. And Austin turned to me at 9 o'clock and he was like, "Are you still going to record that podcast?" I said, "I don't know. I'm pretty dang tired." And he said, "If you're excited about it, you should do it." And as soon as he said that, I'm like, name something else that I'm going to do voluntarily at 9:34 at night. I could be in bed right now, cuddled watching Netflix. But when I show up to this microphone, it rejuvenates me. It reminds me of who I am and what I stand for. And it's going to make me better when I show up at work tomorrow because I'm resetting and I'm refreshing. And I'm finding that power within. That's what passions do. Take a moment to think about what you're most excited about. And eventually, when you pour time into those passions, you're naturally going to use them to start building up the world around you. Whether it's knitting a blanket, or it's speaking, or it's photography, and it's helping others build confidence through whatever your passion you have, that's also going to fill your cup. So take control and take command of your life by finding out what those are, reflecting on it, but then making time for it. Number two, I said find a mentor and a support circle. I think both are important. Your mentor can be in your support circle, but your support circle isn't always filled with mentors. And I am the culmination of so many mentors who have poured their life into me. That is the only reason why I'm here. I have a mentor in every area of my life. I had a mentor when I started photography. back in 2014, 2015. And I decided I wanted to pursue wedding photography. That may have only lasted 3 years, but I had a mentor through it. And he taught me about business and about branding, about being smart, about being personable, and about the fact that if people love you, they'll love your photos. And I started realizing, people love you, they'll love your photos. So if I have a good relationship with people and I pour into people, they'll love what I'm doing. Noted. Great. And I brought that into my next passion. And I got into pageantry. Before I ever hired a coach, I had a mentor. And she poured into me. And she taught me the basics of what I needed to do and what how to prepare. And she believed in me. She took a chance on me. And she supported me. And I still speak to her this day. Even now, sending her my Christmas cards or letting her know I'm competing for Miss Illinois, I had that mentor. And I might have moved on to coaches and people who do this full time, but I still have her as a mentor to reach out to get that advice from. And if you have a support circle, those people should be yes people. Yes people. And I spoke previously on a podcast that Jackie, my roommate from the Naval Academy, as many of you already know, she was the first supportive friend that really treated me in a way I didn't even realize I deserved. But I know now that that's what I deserve. Anything I did, she was like, yes, I love it. How can we do it? What do you need? And it was always a we. It was a team thing. She was like, we're going to do this. I love it. This is amazing. And then as I move forward through life, it would be, Jackie, I think I want to start a photography business. Incredible. Of course. You're talented. Why aren't you doing this already? And then, hey, Jackie, I think I'm going to compete at Miss Ohio USA. Absolutely, you are. Yes. Incredible. Amazing. How can I help you? Support. That's it. And that woman would fly across the country. And before I ever even had a fighting chance to win a crown, she was waking up at 4 a.m. and she's getting me hotel coffee and steaming my dress out and cheering for me physically in the audience. And she's the same person I told her, hey, I think I want to start a podcast 5 years ago. She said, well, you should have been doing that sooner. I was like, thanks. And she said, yes. And she was my first guest. Find the yes people. You don't need to have 27 of them. You can have one. You can have two. And then I married a yes person. I married the support circle. And Austin is the most wonderful indication of what I'm doing right. He's going to tell me, absolutely, yes, this is you. And he'll infamously say, that's not really on brand. And that's not really saying that he's not being supportive. It's more of he's keeping in mind what I stand for. He knows my values. So keep in mind that when people are questioning you, are they questioning you because they want to ensure it aligns with who you are? Or are they questioning you because they doubt you? No one in my life questions me because they doubt me, because my circle is so tight. It's with people who know who I am, what my capabilities are, what I stand for. And they are yes people. And they might say, I don't love this, but what if you did blank? And I'm like, actually, never thought of that. Wow. And that's why you have a circle. So find your circle. And through your circle, you'll also start building your network of mentors. And lastly, find success through failure. If you think you're going to do everything perfect on the first try, think again. You may not remember this, but at one point in your life, you try to stand up and take steps and you fell. You're a kid. But when we're youth, when we're children, we are not afraid of failure. We don't even know what the word means yet. So we get up and we keep going. And somewhere along the line, we let the intimidation of the world keep us from standing up again because we fell down. Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, this is hard. Oh, people will judge me. This is too tough. But you need to think back to what you did when you were little. There wasn't even an option. You just got back up again. Hello? Where along the lines did you start allowing the opinions of others to keep you from getting up and moving forward? You know, almost ironically, I don't know if I've ever really reached success. I don't. Because, you know, I got into the Naval Academy. That's great. I struggled. the entire time. Failed my first exam. I failed many more thereafter. I was unsat for a semester. I didn't get my first or second or third choice for service selection. Couldn't fly. I was too small. Ended up on a warship. And then guess what? Oh, wow. I famously failed as a surface warfare officer. And I was medically pulled from my ship. Failed. Didn't succeed. Didn't get my SWOP in. That was it. And my instant reaction was, the Navy's not for me. I failed. I fail at this. I suck. I'm the worst naval officer that ever existed. But then a part of me was like, what if this one time I ignore the judgment from others and I actually take a leap of faith and I apply for human resources? What would that look like? And that burning question made me realize I had to, because I would look back on my life and wonder, what if? And I thought, you know what? If I don't get accepted into human resources in this community, that's it. You know, I'll close the door on this chapter of the Navy. Thanks for letting me play, hang up the jersey, move forward with my life, on to the next thing. But I could also get up and I could try again. And I can see if I can succeed in a different community. And I got accepted. The human resources community decided to take a chance on me in 2016. And from there, I've been dead focused on being the best human resources officer I possibly could be. And I have never once felt like I knew exactly what I was doing, ever. And sometimes just when I'm getting that stride and I'm like, wow, I think I'm doing well at this. Like maybe this is for me. I get moved to another job. The way of the military. And you start all over again. And I feel like an idiot. I'm like, I know nothing. I know no one. I don't know this job. What are my resources? I don't even know how to get to the homepage of the SharePoint drive. Like what? How do I even get to the resources to find out what I'm doing? I don't know. But every single time at every single duty station, I leave and I figure it out. And that has been a theme consistently. I get knocked down. I get discouraged. I'm like, just this one time, get back up again and see. And then something great comes from it. And when I say I don't think I've actually succeeded, I mean, heck, I never even won a pageant in my life. Literally, never have had a crown placed on my head. Yet the things I've learned through the process of competing in both athletics and in pageantry has made me into a tougher, more confident, more determined version of myself. Because I refuse to let those failures define my success. And in high school, I wanted to win and be a state champion so bad. So bad. I remember working so hard my junior year in the winter track, running in the cold, hitting my splits, racing my heart out. And when I got to state, I fell. I tripped. Literally fell in an auditorium full of people at University of Norfolk, I believe. And I said, that's it. And my mom echoed the words, get up and finish your race. And I could hear her across the auditorium. And that experience and everything throughout has made me realize that you define your own race. You define it. Not the plaque that you get handed, not the crown on your head, not the award that sits on your shelf. Literally, none of those things matter. Because then what? You could win every award, but are you better? Are you tougher? What did you learn? What can you teach others? And through all of my failures, I have learned to teach others to believe in themselves. Because I'm still confident, even though I am a failure, a consistent failure. I'm confident and I learn and I move forward and I've decided not to let those things define me. Instead, I define my own success. What do I want to do with this? What am I going to gain from this experience? What do I want to take from this chapter or this season and have that make me into a better person? I'm going to create my own path. I don't need an award. I don't need a plaque. I don't need something on my wall to collect dust. I have invaluable, intangible skills that I'm going to bring forward. So sit down and figure out, as you take command of your life, what does success look like to you? Shockingly, for me, it's not to have a wall full of awards, because I don't. And if you could sit in my office right now, none of them are mine. They're all Austin's. Shout out Ohio State. None of them are mine. But what's success to me? I want to be proud of myself. I want to challenge myself. I want to do the scary thing. I want to look the scary thing in the face and say, I'm going to go attack this and I'm going to be better from it. What's that? I don't want to live in regret. And I never want to look back on my life and wonder what if. And every single time I've done the scary thing, so that way I don't look back and wonder what if, something has come from it. And that shaped me into who I am today. I've learned from every one of those experiences. So that's what's led me to my decision to compete for Miss Illinois USA 2024. I competed my heart out for Miss California USA in 2020. That was it. At the time, that was my last shot. I was 28 years old and about to age out, and I got runner up. And I remember thinking in the weeks after, what now? I'm a nobody. I didn't win a crown. Who's going to listen to me? I can't speak. I can't go to schools. I can't continue doing social media. I'm a fraud. I never won a crown. Who am I? No one's going to care. I'm just Kelly Hall Sobrocki. Kelly Hall back then. How crazy of me to think that I wasn't enough. Just me. Sans crown. And I doubted that for a second, but only for a second. Because what happened between 2020 and now is I decided to create my own path and define my own success. I started a podcast, even though I was a nobody. I'm not a title holder. I'm not famous. I wasn't a contestant on a reality show. It's just me. And I started speaking from my heart and people listened. And I started showing up in schools and speaking. And that was enough. People listened. And I got invited to be a keynote speaker for not one, not two. Now multiple events. I decided to continue my social media, even though I never won. People still tuned in and listened and shared. And through all those journeys, I'm now sitting here in 2024 with a following of, God bless, literally 130,000 people on social media. Like, what happened? I don't know. But thinking about that makes me so unbelievably grateful. And I have a podcast that's been streamed globally and over 100,000 of you have tuned in. What happened? That's crazy. And I've continued all of these things despite not winning in 2020. So now you're thinking, Kelly, you don't need it. What? You did it. Like, you didn't win Miss California, but you achieved so many of your goals. You're correct. I did move forward and I did achieve a lot of my goals, but I told you my definition of success is never looking back on my life and wondering what if. And in 2022, 2023, Miss Universe organization started making some changes. And in 2023, they announced that women who were married could compete. So a little history about the Miss Universe organization. You had to be completely single in order to win a Miss USA, Miss Universe crown. Could not be prior married, i.e. divorced. Could not have any children and could not be married legally. So even if you were 25 years old but were divorced, you couldn't compete. Not sure about why. I'm sure they have their reasons. I think one of them being when you won Miss USA, you would move to your apartment in New York City and you would be Miss USA for a year, traveling across the world, traveling across the country. You couldn't have those obligations. But they realized in this era of inclusivity, women have a lot to offer. And so they removed that restriction. So now in 2023, women who were previously married, or have children could compete, which is great. Great. But for me, I was married, but I was 31 years old. So it didn't really make a difference for me. I was like, that's exciting, but I can't compete. So cool. Moved on with my life. At that point, I've been married for a year. I was really happy, worked hard on my career. I was okay with where I was at. But something sparked in me over this past summer. I just felt like God was placing something on my heart. Just wait. Just wait. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep up with your social media. Keep sharing your message. Keep up with the podcast. Keep speaking. Keep throwing events. Keep up modeling. Keep working out. All these things. Keep doing it, but do it with the intention of impacting others. Keep showing up. And so I did. And I started working with my trainer again back in July of 2023 when I first started at my new job and had a little bit more flexibility to work out. And he was like, I don't know, Kelly. I think they're going to change the age requirement. I think they're going to remove it. And I was like, I don't know. Shout out Body by Craig. I was like, I don't want to get my hopes up. And so I started having that conversation with Austin. I was like, hey, what would that look like if they removed the age requirement and I was able to compete again? Would we do it? I wanted it to be a joint decision. And he looked at me like I had seven heads and he was like, oh, I didn't know you were considering not doing it. I'm like, oh, and he was like, yeah, I just assumed that you would do it. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you assumed that. And he was like, yeah, that's one of your biggest goals is to go to Miss USA. I was like, oh, I mean, yes, but now I have a husband. So I wanted to make sure we're on board together. He was like, yeah, of course. So then fast forward to September and I was sitting at a nail salon with Austin and the news was announced. Miss Universe organization had removed the age requirement, not just increased it, but removed it completely. Any woman of any marital status with any children at any age could compete for Miss USA or Miss Universe. And I looked over to him with my eyes bigger than the world. And I said, they removed the age requirement. I can compete. And he just said, well, we're doing this, right? I said, yeah, I guess we are. And within a week of that news in September, I had all of my coaches lined up again. It was go time. And so I have been working on this secret project since September. And if you think, I mean, it's tough. I mean, so much training, so much prep, so much time with my mental management coach, Heather, and flying to South Carolina to see my stylist and working out with Craig and making it a priority, but also amplifying my message because this is what I want to do as a title holder or going to Miss USA or as a future Miss USA. I want to speak to women. I want to be a keynote speaker. I want to uplift you all. I want to give you tips to take command of your life. I want to continue my social media. I want to host events every single month. Like, this is all what I want to do, what I've already been doing, but I would love to do it on a more official capacity as Miss Illinois USA and as Miss USA. So I've got to keep up all of this on top of my training and then on top of working full time and on top of, oh yeah, I want to see my husband sometime. So yeah, it's been a lot, but there was never really an option because I don't want to look back on my life and wonder what if. I've got one last shot in me. And having a joint decision with my husband saying, well, we're going to do this, right? Having that full endorsement means the world. And furthermore, getting an endorsement from the US Navy means a lot too. I've posted before that competing, I have to get special permission from my entire chain of command, which means every high-ranking person in the Navy, pretty much, up to the Chief of Naval Operations. Because Miss Illinois USA is unique in which you really can do both. You're a little bit more in charge of your schedule. You're not asked to leave your job. It would really not look very different than what I'm doing now. On the weekends, I have full weekends already doing events, photo shoots, interviews, what have you. But Monday through Friday, go to work. Cool. But the reason why I need that permission is if I go to Miss USA and I were to win, I would have to take a year off from the Navy because I would be full-time Miss USA. That would be my job for a year. And it would be a big job, but it would be an awesome job. And the Navy, having the Navy endorsement, signed, sealed, delivered, means they see the value in that job, which is pretty remarkable. So I'm standing here at 9:59 on a Tuesday. Exactly 3 months from today will be the day after Miss Illinois USA. And I have no idea what that day looks like. I will either be holding a crown and sash in my hand, or I'll be in my sweatpants eating Chinese food, crying. But here's the thing about crying. You can cry not because it's over, but because it happened. I'm so happy, no matter what, that this is happening. And I can be upset that it's over, but I'm going to be so happy I did it. I can't wait to see your reactions when I share this, because I know I want to be that representation of failing forward. I didn't win Miss California USA, and I moved on with my life. And I could have moved on so completely that the idea of competing again is laughable. No way. I would never do it. But it's not to me. Because deep within, I'm like, what if I just get back up one more time? What would that look like? And that kills me more than the idea of just not doing it at all. So I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I'm busting out the heels. I've got the gown. We're going on stage. And this 31-year-old married woman is going to make history and try to win Miss Illinois USA and Miss USA. There's never been an active duty naval officer to win Miss Illinois USA or Miss USA. There's never been a 31-year-old to win either. And there's never been a married woman to win either. So let's bring home the triple crown and represent each one of those categories. I want to make you guys so proud. But even if I don't walk away with a crown, you all know there's so much more to this. It's about proving to yourself that you're not afraid to do the scary thing. It's terrifying to get back up again and do this when I know how hard and horrible it felt not to achieve that milestone before. But it's worth it to me to prove it to myself, to not have regrets. Don't have regrets. Take command of your life. You are in charge. You steer your own ship. You influence your own thoughts. You allow people in your circle. Protect that. You are the only person who can make true decisions for you. You know your intention. Embrace that. Move forward and take command. Thank you guys so much for being here. Season 5 on this podcast and through this journey. You are original listener. You joined the podcast right after I lost Miss California. You've been here through my engagement. You've been here through my wedding. You've been here through so many parts of my life already. And this has been such an instrumental time of my life. These mid to late 20s and now early 30s, I'm proud of who I am, but I'm not perfect. And if I can show you that it's not about perfection, it's about embracing those imperfections, but really moving forward and taking command of what you want for your life, then I'm winning. And you are too. Cheers, guys. Season 5. Let's freaking go. It is 10:03 and I'm signing off before a full day of work tomorrow, but we're doing both. And we have a choice between what we have to do and what we want to do. I want to be here with you. I want to record this for you. I want to uplift you. And I believe in you. So start believing in yourself. Good night, guys.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys, and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you are looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.